this because I think it's a Goodwill, isn't it, Brother Jerry? Goodwill, is it Goodwill Church I saw on Facebook where Brother Dwayne had went and they were sandbagging and everything? And I was telling our congregation this morning, it doesn't even register to me because I'm not even thinking there's any disaster taking place, you know? It's not affecting us at all. We're by the Pearl River, you know, and half the time it's just a trickle. You know where we're at, and but there's some threats of flooding, and we had a lot of flooding down in the southern part of the state. I think it was 2 years ago, and a lot of money was allocated to help rebuild churches. And you know, that's the great thing about being a part of the family of God. Hello, we're a community of people, and we help each other, and we get together and do great things. Intercessory prayer. There were regions, 13 regional prayer initiatives, and fathers of the faith. This is pertains to our retired ministers, and I was telling the church, you know, these days is a little bit different than those early days, and there's a lot of ministers that pastored churches and did the work of an evangelist, and basically, Brother James, all they got out of it was something to eat and somewhere to sleep. But they didn't really get a future out of it. They didn't really have the funds available to even have a retirement account and things of that nature. And we're kind of on the tail end of that generation, but we always try to help during the Christmas time and other times to help our ministers be able to make state meetings and things of that nature. And I believe it's very important that we take care of our fathers in the faith, our mothers and fathers, and our grandparents. Hello, amen. You believe that? Yeah. So we need to do that, and we have done that through this fund. Training, and that, Fathers of the Faith, $17,680 there. Training, SIMS, CAMS, MIP, all of those types of meeting require funding and underwriting, $54,000 there. And then the total is $352,277. And then with the flood relief, where money has been given to local churches to help rebuild, almost $500,000, $479,048. That's pretty good, amen. Well, we just want to praise the Lord for that, amen. $500,000 that the good people of the Church of God have given to help their brothers and sisters in Christ. So we appreciate you on behalf of it, and on behalf of the Evangelism Board, of which I am serving currently. And I have no idea why I get elected to these boards, other than the fact that I always pass out Cracker Barrel cards, you know, before the big state meeting. And so, you know, and I'm not looking for anything. I don't promise anything, y'all. I have no idea why. And when the state office contacted me about doing these two rallies, I never preached no rally like this, you know. And it's just like, okay, well, I'll do it. You know, that's how crazy I'm. Just crazy like that. Anybody crazy up in here? Is anybody crazy? I said, come on, you own it. You look it. You might as well own it. You crazy? Tell your neighbor you crazy. Not crazy. All right, what else is going on there? Yeah, well, so they asked and said to come and all of that. And it is an honor to be here at the Grenada Church of God. Long history of supporting the work of God and being generous and doing a great work in the Grenada area. Beautiful facility and all of these things. And then to be with your great pastor and his family, I couldn't begin to say enough about them and personally about him. I know more about him than I do Sister Sherry, but we worked together on youth boards and things. I remember when Brother Mike, you came over through Brother Mike Steigel, who was a youth director there in Arkansas. And this guy is, I don't know, you know, what do you do with this guy? He eats, sleeps, and drinks God and the church. I mean, in preaching, you know what I'm saying? Ministering. And you got some guys, they got to go fishing. If they pastored this church, they'd be at the lake all the time. I don't know, maybe he goes to the lake. I'm not saying what he should or he shouldn't, you know. You know what I mean? But he, you see him on Facebook preaching in the prison and just doing an outstanding job. Always has been a minister of excellence from the day he came over. Always impressed, not trying to be impressive, but is always impressed with his humility, his service, his heart for God, a man of integrity. And the ministers of the state have recognized him and honored him, serving on the state council multiple times, I believe. I don't keep track of your record here, just, you know, whatever. But really, you are extremely blessed. I hope that you know that. And this church does have a reputation of understanding what it takes to have a man of God like Brother James and his wife, Sister Sherry, and their family. Would you give them a big warm appreciation tonight? Yeah. And then to have Brother Jerry Hill. Brother Jerry, I thought you was going to sing. We would love to hear Brother Jerry sing a great. Well, look, there's still time. Still time, Brother Jerry. Great man of God pastoring North Shady Grove. Is that correct? Am I right? All right, yeah. And we're just thrilled to have him with us tonight. A phenomenal minister of the gospel and gospel singer. You all know him and his family and the anointing and the talent that they have in their gene pool. And thank you, Brother Jerry, for coming out. We appreciate you, man, so much, and thank God for you. The next thing that we're going to have is just a little slideshow, and it's going to tell you about four specific works, a little greeting from the state overseer, and four new plants, church plants, and he's going to talk about that and talk about those ministers. So if you want to roll that thing, and then after they're done, I'll come back up and maybe speak to you from the Word.
Greetings, everyone. I want to take this time to introduce to you four church planters right here in Mississippi. These folks are an answer to prayer to Bishop Dwayne Morey and I. We have been strategically praying and seeking candidates to put some churches and start some life-giving churches in key areas all across Mississippi. Those areas being the coastal region, the northern part of our state, and even right here in the Metro Jackson area. These four church planters you're going to meet today are going to need our support. We're going to be doing shift initiative rallies all across the state in the spring, and that's what we're going to focus our attention on. These people are the heartbeat of God, I believe. They represent what I believe is going to be the greatest harvest field is when people begin new church works. I want to introduce you to them now, and I want you to strongly consider your church adopting one of these churches and making them a part of your missions program. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hey, guys, I'm Shane Morrison, and I am the lead pastor of Redemption Church.
And I'm Cherish Morrison. I'm the co-pastor of Redemption Church.
Hi, I'm Percy McClendon I, lead pastor.
And I am Paula McClendon, the co-pastor.
Of Breaking the Barrier Ministry, COG.
Hello, my name is Pat Easley. I'm senior pastor of Walls Down Church.
Hello, everyone. My name is Alfredo Alvarez, and this is my wife, Christy. And together, we will be starting a church in Oxford, Mississippi.
Redemption Church is a church plant in the downtown Brandon, Mississippi area.
Why would you want to come to a ministry like this? Because Jesus is just beyond the doors. He is breaking bonds. He is breaking chains. He is creating miracles. He is answering prayers.
God is doing an awesome work in Olive Branch, Mississippi. The Spirit of God is really moving in our services. People are coming to the Lord. People are being saved every day. They are being delivered. They're being healed. We have great participation from the community.
The vision of All Nations is to be a multicultural church that will bring people together from all over the world.
Our ministry is to win the lost and teach the saved. It is a full gospel ministry. All is welcome, and we ask you, please, come as you are.
At Walls Down Church, our goal this year is to reach 100 souls for Christ in 1 year.
I'm giving you a personal invitation now to come and be a part of our Sunday morning worship service.
We are located at 630 Tennessee Street in Gulfport, Mississippi.
Come expecting, because things are happening.
As church planters, one of the most important things we can ask you to do is to pray for us. We're all entering something that's new, that's fresh. It's like birthing a child. We're scared to death, but we're also excited about what God's doing for us. So please, when you pray for us and pray for the vision that God has given us in our areas.
We would like for you to partner with us, and you can do that in three ways. First, pray. Pray for us that God will give us favor in every decision that we make, that He will provide. Second, we would like for you to consider giving by contacting the state office. And third, join, because we understand that ministry is not something that belongs to a person, but to God.
Amen. Let's give them a hand tonight. And I love to see these couples and the call of God on their lives and starting works. And we had two of our sons and two of our daughter-in-laws. Am I right? I'm on that. And they graduated from that school over there. The old one. I want to be careful what I say here, because I know, first of all, that your pastor must be just in tears. I mean, being what he is, you know. I don't even want to go there. You know what I'm saying? And I know that you've got some of you cowbell ringers over here. I think you're a cowbell ringer, aren't you? Yeah. You're not. Well, bless you then. We do have a son at State, so we have a little redemption there, and he'll be graduating soon, I hope, amen. So pray for him. His name is Jared, and we have a GoFundMe account for him, too. I'm just kidding. We really don't, but he's going to be a rocket scientist when he gets out of there. I don't know what he's going to do. Probably work at Walmart, you know. I don't know. Life is just crazy that way. How about if we just speak to a few minutes? You got a couple minutes? You got 15 minutes or something? You know, we'll just kind of. Wow. God is good. Amen. Let's just say a few words from the Word tonight. Turn with me in your Bible to 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, if you would, please. And if you'd like to stand, we'll read the Word together. And I promise not to keep you long. I've seen guys go to, like, camp meeting and get called on to take the offering. And by the time they finish, I am not given nothing. You know, I'm going to take a nap or something. I'm not going to try to do that to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 14 tonight. The word of the Lord says, I do not write these things to shame you. And I want just to hang on to that for a second. But as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. You don't have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son of the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Would you join me in prayer? And we're going to pray for these works, and we're just going to pray for God's will to be done tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the opportunity to be gathered together with your precious people. And what an opportunity it is to be in this great church, Lord. And so many wonderful things that these beautiful people have done in your name, God. We thank you, Lord, for this sacred pulpit and the man that stands behind it tonight, God. We thank you for his pulpit, Lord, the pastor of this church. And I pray, God, that you will help me to honor it tonight. Thank you for the word, that you would bless us in the word. We pray for these works that are starting, God, and that are up and running. And we pray for those ministers and their families tonight. And we pray that you would open up doors of opportunity for them, God, that souls will be added to the kingdom. There's nothing more important than souls being saved. And we just give you the praise and the glory for these things. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. All right, just slap somebody on the forehead when you're on your way down there. And I don't mean to really do that. I don't really mean that, okay? I don't mean that. Last Sunday night, I had the opportunity to preach at the Rocky Hill Church of God and stand in Pastor Brett Cooper's pulpit. Now, you talk about an intimidating factor. Brett Cooper. We're talking about the Brett Cooper, y'all. I mean, the Elvis of the Church of God. As far as that goes, you know, I mean, the reputation. I thought to myself, well, what am I going to do? I'll tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to try to impress anybody. I kind of feel that way tonight, and I'm not here to try to impress anybody. But let me just say a few words to you, and we're going to be receiving an offering tonight. I love the Word of God, and I love the Word as it flows and as it comes together and the meanings behind it. I appreciate the heart of the Apostle Paul as he is writing now to the church at Corinth. And there's a history between the Apostle Paul and those believers in Corinth. And the history behind it is, Brother James, is that it's complicated. It's a complicated relationship. Does anybody have a complicated relationship? It's complicated. I'm going to talk about this a little bit this morning. I'm going to talk about complicated, you know, and Jacob had a complicated experience. You know, if you were to ask Jacob, you know, tell me about your family. And he said, well, if you got some time, it's a little complicated, and I can tell you a few things, you know, that has happened. You know, if you were to ask Joseph, tell me about your life and tell me about your life experiences and tell me about, you know, your family. And it would have been a little bit of a complicated ordeal to try to tell his story in just 5 minutes, you know. We're going to talk a little bit here. And a lot of times what we do when we come to church and sometimes out in the general public is that we try to hide our lives and we try to mystify things and we try to cover things. But I just want to tell you, everybody's life is complicated. Come on, somebody. It's complicated, huh? Yeah, stuff happens in life, and the Bible is filled with examples that were complicated. But the Apostle Paul's relationship with the church at Corinth is very complicated, and the fact that he established the church there, and actually there are four letters that we draw from the inferences there in 1st and 2nd Corinthians that were written to them, and Paul went back, and after evangelizing them there in a year and a half, going to Ephesus, writing letters, he sent an entourage, sent people there to kind of check it out. He heard word from them, and he's trying to father them and shepherd them and pastor them, and it's a complicated relationship, and there's stresses and strains there, and there's some that have recognized his leadership and there's some that have not recognized his leadership, and that's just a lot of tension going on in the congregation. But I love what the Apostle Paul says. He pulls out, I'm going to pull out four things that he says, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about giving tonight. He says, this is the Father's heart. Can I come down here for just a minute? Is it okay if I just come down? You know, he said, this is the Father's heart. And Paul is an apostle. He is a church planner. He works miracles, a man of faith, you know, just an incredible minister of God. And the majority of the New Testament that we have, the documents that we derive our doctrine from, mostly and how we run our churches, were because of the authorship of the Apostle Paul. So, you know, it's complicated in his relationship with them, and it's difficult. But Paul now, he's saying, I want to communicate some things to you, but I want you to understand that the mannerism that I want to project to you, the vibe that I want you to feel from me, I want you to know that I'm not talking to you because I want to shame you. And I just want to tell you tonight that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, and the Word of God that comes to you in your life is not to shame you. The Word of God tells us clearly that God hasn't given us a spirit of intimidation or to be intimidated, and that God is not working in the spirit of condemnation. Therefore now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But the Holy Spirit does come with conviction. And we're not manipulators. God hasn't called us to be manipulators. God has not called us to shame in any stretch of the imagination. And I have pastored five sons, my wife and I. Five sons. We've raised five sons. Well, come on, man. Woo. And when they were little, you know, we had it on them, you know what I'm saying? But now they're all big and grown up. And we had to get the bluff on them early and all of that, you know, but I never wanted to manipulate them. I never wanted to shame them and then in their mistakes and all of those things. I never wanted to shame them. I never wanted them to obey me out of shame. I never wanted them to follow in my tradition or whatever out of a sense of shame. I always covered them. But Paul said more than that. He said, now I just need you to understand the things I'm going to tell you may be a little abrasive and they may shock you from time to time and they may challenge you. And I just want to tell you, you have a man of God that fills the pulpit here at this place, and I am convinced and I believe that he has a father's heart. Hello. I believe that this pastor has enough of God in him to speak to you, not to shame you, but to warn you. Hello. Yeah, come on, just praise God for that. To warn you. And there's a big difference in that. And you and I as parents and grandparents and people in our community, whether we're in the workplace or what we're doing, trying to influence people in the school, we're not there to try to shame them into becoming Christians. We're there to warn them, yes, but it's got to come out of a heart of love. See, a father's word will be strong and it will be stern from time to time, but it's always given in the context of love. Please don't open my mouth, Lord. Don't let me open my mouth outside of the context of love. Amen. I'm bad to do it now. I will open my mouth in traffic. I may have road rage. I may have it. But he says, I'm writing to you. I don't want to shame you. I got to warn you about some things. He says, I've been a father in the faith. I've given birth to some of you. And there's a big difference between a harlotin or a charlatan and somebody that's just passing through to get what they can from you and a true shepherd like Brother Jerry back there, Brother James McElroy, our state overseer, Brother Chris Moody, who's bearing a heavy attack from the enemy. And I don't have privy to the information and of all the things, but we have some people that have sacrificed in these positions, you know, in order to stay in them. They're not just raking in the dough up there. You know? They make sacrifices to do what they do. But he says, you don't have a lot of fathers, and I'm going to tell you what to do with fathers. And you know, it's okay, we're just talking. Just honor them. Just honor them. Hello? Just honor them, because that's a promise. That is a commandment with a promise. Amen? So we honor them. And then Paul said, here's what I'm going to do, and this is what I want to try to do tonight as quickly as I can, is I just want to remind you of some things. Is that okay? Let's just have a little remembrance of some things. I want to talk to you about giving tonight. So the first thing I want to say to you tonight in reference to our giving, this is the word on giving, is found in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. And the word of the Lord said, give, and you probably all know it, don't you? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you. 2 Corinthians 9 and 6 says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And what I want to say about giving is that I believe is important is that when we give, as we give, that we are to expect a proportionate return. When you give, expect a proportionate return. Now, in our society today, sometimes in certain areas and in certain cases, we've got a generation that wants to receive a return that is not proportionate to what they have put in. Come on, somebody help me. I'm talking about your Social Security. Amen. I'm not going to try to throw down the government, but what I'm trying to say is that you have sown in. Some of these silver hairs right in here, silver heads have sown in, and you've got some that just want to dip into it. Now, you didn't put any of that in there, and you sure enough don't deserve to get some of it out of there. Hello, somebody help me. So don't expect to have a blessing that is disproportionate to your giving. You'll have to give and have an expectation of a proportionate giving. And I want to go so far as to say this. When Jesus watched them give, he marveled at those in their giving. And he saw an individual who was wealthy who cast his check in pennies, you know, and threw it in the brass horn there at the temple so it would make a lot of racket when all those coins went down that horn to the box inside. And it was like a show, you know. He cast his check, and he had a lot of money, and he threw a lot of money in the coffer, and it made a lot of racket. And all those that were standing around, they would stand around like, wow. But there was one woman who all she had was a widow's mite. And this joker, he gave out of his extra, but this woman gave what she needed to live on. And God understands our giving that way. And he will reward us proportionately. Amen. Proportionately. He said, when we give, it's important for you and I to understand. In Mark chapter 9, verse 41, he said, and whoever gives a cup of cold water, to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. When you give, a gift given cannot lose its reward. That's very important to understand. I want to talk to you from a Church of God perspective because I have been in the Church of God for 30-some years now. I know I look good. Can't help it. I know I don't look that old. Come on, somebody, amen me now. Help a brother out. But we have a lot of initiatives from time to time. I have seen it all. I feel like I've seen it all. Come down from the state office or international office. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. And it works for about, we do it for a couple years, you know, and then it kind of fades away. And then, and people wonder, I wonder what happened to that money. Hey, I wonder what happened to that money in the building fund. I just want to tell you that whatever you give out of a heart to serve God, to love God, you will not lose your reward. I don't care what man does with it. Come on. Now, that don't happen in an IRA account. That doesn't happen when the bank goes corrupt with your investment and you lose all of your assets. The only way you're going to get out of that mess is if you've been a faithful servant of the Most High God. Isn't it wonderful to know that no weapon formed has the ability to profit? I don't care what you've lost. Our God is able to replace it tenfold, hundredfold. Amen. No matter if your trust is in the things of man, then I feel sorry for you. But if your confidence is in God, you have nothing to fear. God's going to provide and take care of you. So it's important for us to understand and keep in focus and remember that when we give, we're going to have a reward proportionate to what we give and proportion to what it costs us. It's important for us to remember that as we give, it doesn't matter what happens. It really doesn't matter. Thank God we have financial accountability and all of these things. But it really doesn't matter. When I give, and I give as unto the Lord, I'm going to get my reward. Amen. Are you going to get yours? I'm going to get mine. Let's give the Lord praise right there. I'm going to get my reward. I'm going to get it. Doesn't matter what you do, I'm going to get it. Matthew 10:8 said, give. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you have received, freely give. And that is to say that when we give, we should give with no strings attached. And I said, a lot of times we're good at giving, or we'll give, but we give in order to gain control. It's a controlling spirit. We'll give in order to, we got a string attached to it. Hello? I'm giving, but I am expecting something out of you. Let me just tell you about ministering to the lost and ministering in your community. And I'm just reminding you, remember? I'm just reminding you. You know all of this. A great church, beautiful church, wonderful church, great pastor. Great ministry in the community. But you and I both know that when we give into the community and we give into people's lives, we can't give with a string attached. We can't buy influence with them with expectation. They may come to church and they may not. Hello. They may say thank you and they may not. Hello. But we just give liberally as God has blessed us. And we give in the name of Jesus. And we know that we have a reward. And we know that it will have an impact. And we're not here to manipulate people and manipulate souls. You can't manipulate souls. You got to love them into the kingdom. Yeah. We're just here to give, man. I know that you're not like this, but sometimes it's kind of like this out in the public. Hey, we're the church. What can you do to help us? We're trying to put a roof on our building. Oh, we're trying to pave our parking lot. What can you do? We're raising money for our youth group. Why, you know, we're the church. How can you help us? When we should be saying, we're the church. How can we help you? Our dad is the creator of all things visible and invisible. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He is the author and the finisher, the Alpha, the Omega. He doesn't need. He is not in need. Our God does not need. He knows no need. He speaks and it is. And somehow we need to have a revelation of who we are and who we represent. God didn't leave us in the earth to get something from it. He planted his people in the church to be an extension of the kingdom, to be a blessing. Aren't you glad that when Jesus shows up, he doesn't show up asking for anything? He shows up giving everything. Letting go of his position in heaven, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in likeness of man. And being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And on the cross he says, Father, forgive them. He came giving, not taking. There's such harvest out there. There's a harvest of lost souls out there. And they need a visual of the love of God. They need a visual. Brother James, they need a visual. They've seen it all, they've heard it all. They need a visual. They need a church, family of God like this church right here, giving and sowing seeds and extending their love and grace to people of all race, color, and creed. Amen. Would you praise God for that? Amen. That's what they need. Hallelujah. I feel like a meddling spirit coming on. I'm just not going to meddle. Amen. I ain't going to meddle tonight. Too late, he said already. God is the best giver. Luke 11:13. Let's remember tonight. When you give, don't expect a return that's not in proportionate to what you give. It's not the amount, but what it costs you. Hello? Not the actual dollar figure, but what is it actually costing you? Let's remember tonight that when you give a gift, it doesn't matter what man does, you cannot lose your reward. Amen? Let's remember tonight that when we give, we're not giving to accumulate or acquire the power of manipulation or to have something over somebody's head. We're just giving with no strings attached. Amen? And then we're going to say tonight, God is the best giver. I love this passage of scripture found in Luke where he says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Isn't that the sweetest thing you ever heard in your whole entire life? There's nothing more of more value, greater value, than the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit cannot be acquired by the world. It doesn't see him. It doesn't know him. The Holy Spirit can only be recognized by born-again believers. And to receive the Holy Spirit is to receive that spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. What a sweet thing that is. I'm a grandpa, and there ain't nothing sweeter than when they FaceTime me with my little grandson, Isaac, and he knows who I am. And it's pop, pop. He has the spirit of, I don't know if it's adoption. He weren't adopted. Well, we would adopt him. We let his parents go. They raised, let them fend for themselves. Amen. But he knows that there's a connection there. We don't get to see him. We don't live in the same area. We live hundreds of miles away. But when he goes on Facebook, there is a spirit of acceptance. He knows who we family, and he knows it. God doesn't want anybody walking around planet Earth not recognizing and understanding that they have a Father in heaven who has paid the price for their adoption. And his whole thing is to reinforce that and build that and help you and I to be able to stand up and know who we are in God. And part of what he gives us so that we can stand up is the spirit of adoption. We're not a religion. Hello? We're not about religion. You can't purchase the Holy Spirit. You can't buy anything. You can't do anything to earn him. He comes as a gift from the Father. He is the helper, the spirit of truth that the world cannot receive. He is the revealer of mysteries and truth and the will of God. He teaches you according to the scripture, and he produces fruit in our lives. And the word of God tells us that when he comes upon us in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we receive power. Amen. Let's praise God for that. Will you do it with me? Yeah. Yeah, you can't have a better gift than that, than the Holy Spirit. The last thing I'm going to tell you, and are you going to come and help me? Is that, now somebody smart and intelligent and all of that said something similar to what I'm going to say to you, but I'm not that smart. And I just kind of think I remembered what was said. In just a few moments, the ushers are going to pass out some of these cards to you. And let me just talk about that, but you can go ahead and just play a little something there. You know, because giving is worship. Hello? Giving is worship. So go ahead and pass those out, fellas, if you would. The envelopes there are for the Shift Ministry, and what we're asking you to do tonight is to consider giving a gift. You can write your name on the back there and the address, your personal address. Where you attend, of course, is here, and if you attend Brother Jerry's church there in Shady Grove or wherever you come from, you'll put that there. And then there's a place on there to pledge to give monthly. Various amounts. And then there's another line that says, I just want to make a one-time gift. And there's another little box there, I will prayerfully support the Shift Ministries. So as she's playing and we're talking, it's okay. Get out your pen or your pencil and kind of work with that. While you're working with that, I'll talk to you a little bit. You cannot outgive God, and I believe that. You cannot outgive God, and you have to give as you're directed, and I believe that. Here a while back, and we had the initiative to from the World Mission Department and from the state office, Brother Chris Moody had given us an opportunity, all of the churches and whoever wanted to build churches in Nicaragua. $15,000. Are you kidding me? Build a church for $15,000? We want to build a new sanctuary. It probably cost $500,000. Hello? Am I right, Pastor? $15,000, we might not even be able to put new concrete around this place. You can't buy a church sign, a digital church sign, just a moderate sign, 13 grand. The Holy Spirit has to talk, amen? And he talked to my heart, man, and I was like, we're gonna do that. We're going to do that. And then we had to step out in faith. Y'all know what faith is, right? And so my wife and I, we prayed about it, we talked about it, and we gave several thousand dollars in our church service, and because of the Holy Spirit put it in our hearts. And I said, look, we're going to do this. And I said, I know we're going to do it. I'm going to tell you what. When we pastor, it's a small church. It's a small church. And I said, and we're going to do it in 3 months. And we got needs. I mean, our building is not all swanky. Not like y'all's. I mean, except for the carpet. I'm just kidding. Whoa, I'm sowing a seed here. A little bit easy, fella. No, somebody had said something about you might want to replace the carpet. I don't know. I think it was her. No, wait, no, it wasn't her. It's all right. Y'all calm down. Relax. I'm only here one night, okay? So you're filling those things out, if you would, while I talk a little bit to you. So we gave several thousand dollars and had to take it out of our retirement fund. And we took that and we sowed it. And a fellow in the church caught the vision of that. A man in the church caught a vision, and he fights forest fires all over the country, and he goes off. They call him up, and he goes off, and he's like a safety guy. And so he told me, he said, Pastor, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to give my first check to build the church in Nicaragua. Well, I didn't see him for like 3 months, glory to God. He usually works like maybe a weekend or a week or two. Well, he came back, he gave his first check. It was several thousand dollars. He matched what we matched. Another brother said, I'll give two. A couple of here and a couple of there. We had it raised in under 3 months. I mean, it didn't take very long at all. And we have a church in Nicaragua. And by the goodness of God and the grace of God, this summer I'm going to go there. And souls that will be saved and lives that will be forever changed. I'm in the last quarter of my life, James. Life is like a vapor. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. But what's done for God will remain for an eternity. Assembly of God missionaries came to the Fiji Islands in the 1930s, and my grandmother, my grandfather got saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost. Changed everything. Consider it tonight. Just consider it. Consider doing what the Holy Spirit would lead you to do. I don't know what he would say, but consider it tonight. The last thing I want to say to you, and we're going to have prayer, and they're going to receive the offering tonight, and I'm going to turn it over to your pastor. Some great motivational speaker, I think it might have been, said this. It said, the opportunity of a lifetime must be acted upon during the lifetime of the opportunity. The opportunity of a lifetime must be acted upon during the lifetime of that opportunity. Opportunities come and go. And if you would seize the moment, then you have to do it in the lifetime of that moment. There was a woman who anointed Jesus, the Bible said. Mary, the sister of Martha, the sister of Lazarus. 6 days before Jesus' crucifixion, before he would enter into Jerusalem and then be crucified, she anointed him with a costly spikenard. She had vision about what was happening, and she anointed Jesus. And there was a big fuss over the money that was spent. Judas Iscariot was crying about the money. Oh, the money, the money. We could have sold that and given it to the poor. And Jesus said, you've got the poor always, but this woman has seen something about me. I'm only going to be here just a few more days. There was an opportunity for her to do something special and unique in the life of Jesus. And she did it. So you have to move upon the opportunity that's presented to you when it's presented to you, because once it's gone, it's gone. But how many of you know we serve a gracious God? Amen? I grew up in the church and had to learn things the hard way. And I missed some opportunities in my life. I missed some opportunities in my lifetime. But we learn. Hopefully we learn. Amen? So don't miss this opportunity tonight. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, in Jesus' name, we ask your blessing over the offering tonight. Thank you for the wonderful people, God, coming out to worship you in the house of God like this. Everything has been excellent, from the man that greeted me from the door, the music, the musicians, these ushers here. Everything has been excellent, God. And we just pray, Lord, that you will touch upon the hearts of your people, Lord. And as they give tonight, that you will hold that in remembrance, God. And bless them in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. They're going to wait on you right now. We appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Yes. If you're writing a check, be sure to write a check to the Church of God. And they're going to keep it here. It'll go to the local church and then they'll write one check. Thank you, Brother James. Don't write it to the state office. Just write it Church of God and they'll take care of it. Send one check. Praise the Lord. Well, after the ushers pass you by with the plate, would you stand to your feet tonight? Because I didn't come to take an offering. Oh, God. I didn't come to take an offering. I come to see the Spirit of the Lord move upon his people. And I just want you to help me just for the next couple of minutes. I'm going to turn it over to your pastor right here in just a minute. I want you to just sing this song with me. I have no idea what she's playing, but I think it's a good key, and we're going to sing. This is what we're going to sing. Okay, it starts like this. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Sing it to the Lord. If you can use anything, worship him right now. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Just worship him. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Make it your prayer. Time, make yourself an offering. You can use anything, Lord. You can use me. Hey. Lord, you can use me.
Lord, take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak to me.
Spirit, you are welcome here. Come from this place, fill the atmosphere.
Come on, help me.
Glory, God is what I want.
Come on, musicians, come back there on these drums and that bass right quick. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We're just reaching out for the hand of God, the presence of God, as we bask in His love and His glory. Just reaching out to love on God and to receive what He has prepared for us. I believe God has prepared something for each one of us tonight. Just reach out by faith and receive it. They're going to sing it again one more time. Pastor James, go ahead and sing.
Thank you. really feel that the Lord wants to do something in somebody's life here tonight. Brother Rick, thank you for that word from the Lord. Amen. We appreciate your obedience to the Spirit of God and how God has spoke to our hearts through you. But he said something that really touched my heart, and I believe that's where we are right now at this moment. I want you to be ready to sing that one more time. He talked about that one opportunity that, as you know, Mary took to take advantage of that moment, and she realized that that was her time. That was her time to worship and to give Jesus what she could. And the Lord honored that because she didn't miss that moment. And I don't know who you are tonight, but listen, I don't want you to miss the moment that God has given you right now. Maybe you need a touch from God. Maybe there's something in your life that you need God to do or to perform. Maybe a family need, whatever it is. But I just feel led of the Lord tonight to ask you if you need God to touch you, or maybe you just want to come up here and just worship the Lord, or just press in around these altars. Don't miss this moment. This is your moment. This is the time God has, I believe, designed that we can meet with God and God can meet with us. Let's press in tonight. Let's worship the Lord. Let's not take this moment for granted. Amen. But let's give Jesus the best worship we can offer him in his presence while he's here. And the waters are being troubled. Somebody step in with me tonight. Somebody get in. Somebody receive your miracle. Somebody let God touch you in this place tonight. Come on. Let's worship him.
I'm gonna
worship you.